Such a privilege to be with you. The devil has done his best to sabotage my speaking today, but thank God he gave me the privilege to be able to prepare my sermon before all the disasters started happening. On Tuesday, I lost my first pair of glasses, and on Wednesday, I lost the second pair of glasses. And so I was hoping I'd find them. I prayed all I could. And when I would go on the computer, sometimes the whole document would be deleted. So all these things were part of the sabotage that the devil tried to come up with. Well, I was still praying, hoping. And so then on Friday morning, I went to the eyeglass place and they ordered me a new pair of glasses. And it'll be here on Friday. Now, that's the last day before I leave. Can get glasses and leave for India again. So at least I have that. And then I learned something, which is very valuable. I need that prescription to take with me in case I lose my glasses again. So I got that prescription. And then the man who helped me told me that if I ran into problems, I could get some eyeglasses down at the local store. So I went to Bi-Mart yesterday and I found some glasses that will be able to get me through the sermon today. You'll be looking a little fuzzy out there, but these are reading glasses. And I thank God that with God in you, we're always in the majority. So always remember that. Whatever problems come your way, you and God are always in the majority. And I also made the print really big so I could see it better. So maybe between the two, we'll be okay. I'm so happy and delighted to be with you today. And I'm happy to have my wife here 47 years. And we have 3 children and 9 grandchildren. What a gift from God. And as you know, I've been a missionary for a long time. One of the greatest occasions in my life was when I was ordained as a minister of the gospel message. It seemed that God gave me a power that I did not have before. And Elder Ted Wilson was one of those there that officiated. And so those are memorable times in one's life in which one never tends to forget. And all of this was designed of God from the very foundation of the world. And we find that in Psalms 139, verse 14 through 17. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Mine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfected, and thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none. How precious also are thy thoughts, O God, to me. How great is the sum of them all. Every one of us has a unique story. Everyone is created differently in this life and in the life to come. It makes a difference who you know. Lots of people are available today for employment with high degrees. But because they don't know the right person, they're unable to get employment. I remember my first job. How about you? Privileged to go to Oak Park Academy. And that was because of who I knew. I had paid my sister Joanne's tuition at Walla Walla Valley Academy and impressed the treasurer so much when they were looking for a treasurer for Oak Park that they selected me as that person. On the road to heaven, is it important who you know? John 14, 6 and 7 tells us it is. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the one who has life. He that cometh to the Father cometh but by me. If Paul says something, if somebody else in the Bible says something, and we're not sure about that, just understand and know that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So as we summarize this up, we can see that Jesus is the only way, and he has truth, and he has the power of life. And why? Because God the Father has given it to him. And the Father says, if we have the Son, we have life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you plan to be in heaven, it does matter who you know, and it does matter if you know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he is the only way. So why are we told all about this? It's because of the love that Jesus has for each one of us. He wants to be connected to us. No separation. He walked in the garden in the cool of the morning with Adam and Eve. He wants to do the same for you and me. He wants to reestablish that connection. And we see that in John 3:16-17. For God gave His Son, not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Christ is the way from earth to heaven. By His humanity, He touches the earth, and by His divinity, He touches heaven. He is the ladder connecting earth and heaven. So it is important who you know. John 3:36 says, if he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. Where is that found? Ephesians 2:8. There's a story in India that is told about the pearl diver. And there was a pastor from USA, his name was David Morris. And time and day he went to the pearl diver's house and he tried to convince him about Jesus Christ and about his accepting him as a personal savior. And Rombog, which is the pearl diver's name, enjoyed listening to the word of God. But he said, you Christians have an easy way to heaven. I cannot accept it. If ever I should find admittance to heaven in that manner, I would feel like a pauper or like a beggar who has been let in out of pity. I may be proud, but I want to deserve. I want to earn my place in heaven, and so I'm going to work for it. One evening, however, the missionary heard a knock on his door after a year or two. And going to the door, he found Rombog there. Come in, dear friend, Pastor Morris said. No, said the pearl driver, I want to come to you, and I want you to come to my house just now. So Rombog said, in a week's time, I start working my place in heaven. I am leaving for Delhi, and I'm going there on my knees. It's 900 miles to Delhi from his house, and his skin would have broke, and he would have had infection and all sorts of things. And so the pastor advised him, please don't go. But Rombog reaffirmed that when he got to Delhi, he would be admitted to heaven because of what he had done. He said the suffering and all that and the swelling would help him purchase his way to heaven, and it would be a joy to be able to do that. Rombog left the room soon to return with a small box that had something in it. And then he explained to him that he once had a son. And he said, my son was a diver too. He was the best pearl diver on the coast of India. He had the swiftest dive, the keenest eyes, the strongest arms, the strongest breath of any man who ever sought for pearls. One day he found it. He found the perfect pearl. He knew he was out of breath, but he continued anyhow, and he got that pearl and came to the surface. And that pearl cost him his life, and he died soon after. He continued, all these years I have kept this pearl, but now I'm going, and he may die on the way and not return. So he wanted to give this pearl to Pastor David Morris. The old man quickly took the strong box and he began opening the strong box. And there in the strong box, it was placed in cotton, and he unwrapped this pearl, and it glowed with luster and brilliance never to be seen in any culture of pearls. It would have bought a great price at any market. For a moment, the missionary was speechless and gazed with awe. Rombog, what a pearl. That pearl, Saab, is perfect, replied the Indian quietly. The missionary looked up quickly with a new thought. Wasn't this the way and best opportunity and occasion that he had prayed for? To make Rombog understand the value of Christ's sacrifice, he said, Rombog, this is a wonderful pearl, an amazing pearl. Let me buy it. I will give you $10,000 for it. Saba, you don't understand, said the Indian. Well, I will give you $15,000 for it, or whatever it takes. I will work for it. Saab, said Rombog, the pearl is beyond price. No man in all the world has money enough to buy that this pearl is worth to me. On the market, $1 million would not buy it. I will not sell it to you, but I will give it to you as a gift. No, Rombog, I cannot accept that. As much as I want the pearl, I cannot accept it that way. Perhaps I am proud, but that is too easy. I must pay for it or work for it, said the missionary. The old pearl diver was stunned. You don't understand at all, Saab. Don't you see? My only son gave his life to get this pearl, and I wouldn't sell it for any money. Its worth is in the blood of the life of my son. I cannot sell this, but I can give it to you. Just accept it as a token of the love I bear you. The missionary was choked, and for a moment would not speak. Then he grabbed the hand of the old man, Rombog, he said, in a low voice, don't you see, my words are just what you have been saying to God all the time. The diver looked long and searching at the missionary, and slowly, slowly he began to understand. God is offering you salvation as a free gift, said the missionary. It is so great and priceless that no man on earth can buy it. Millions of dollars are too little. No man on earth could earn it. His life would be millions of years too short. No man is good enough to deserve it. It cost God the lifeblood of His only Son to make the entrance for you into heaven. In a million years, in 100 pilgrims, you would not earn that entrance. All you could do is to accept it as a token of God's love for you, a sinner. Rambagh, won't you accept God's great gift of heaven, knowing it cost Him the death of His Son to offer it to you? Sob, I see now I have believed in the doctrine of Jesus for the last 2 years, but I could not believe that His salvation was free. Now I understand some things are too precious to be bought or earned. Sob, I will accept His salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes, it is vitally important on who you know to reach heaven. But how can you know Him? Jesus, the Son of God. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Judas was giving power from God to heal the sick, cast out devils, and heal all manner of diseases. Worked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He slept with Jesus, walked with Him, and he heard all His sermons. Judas had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. He was there to benefit himself. He was self-centered. When we are having a special relationship with God, as Enoch did walking with Him, we will want to please Him and follow His character. Acts of charity, paying tithe and offering, serving others will be our automatic response in loving the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to watch lest passion take possession of our soul, to watch lest selfish thoughts are cherished. Pray that the grace of God may come into our hearts and that we may be ever watching for opportunities to do good. Remember, the basis of the Ten Commandments is to love God with all the heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. We've all gone down the wrong path and committed sin. And 1 John 1:8 tells us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. So what happens when sin comes our way? The Lord's Prayer, part of it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's what God wants us to do, to pray that God will protect us from the evil so we don't have to worry about it. Then we're to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. When you turn on your computer, lots of garbage comes on. You can click on this garbage and that garbage, but stay tuned to what you're there for, and remember that God and you are together. It's like the tree in the Garden of Eden. Every time a temptation comes, are you plucking the fruit like Eve did, or are you resisting like Adam did at first? And then it tells us if we sin and we commit false, then Hebrews tells us to come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain grace to help in times of need. And I know each one of us needs that from time to time. And John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you have confessed your sins and believe that Jesus has forgiven them, what a relief and contentment one has in the soul. And I'm sure you've experienced that as I have. Sometimes we cannot forgive ourselves, for our hearts condemn us. But God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if your heart condemns us not, then we have confidence with God. How many sins does it say will God forgive us? All of them. Not only will He forgive, but He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How does He do that? That's through His blood in the cross. He paid the price of disobedience. He died for our sins. So by grace we are saved, as was mentioned before. Peter says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told. In Matthew 1:21, the angel came and told about the birth of Christ. And it said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. John 3:16-17 again, you know, God loves us. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that we might be saved. Jesus wants us all in the kingdom of God. So how can we get there? Through a belief in Jesus, which will allow Him to take charge of our life, moment by moment. Belief will lead us into a relationship with Him. That relationship will lead us into action. We will then ask God for the forgiveness of sins. We will repent, and God will begin a good work in us. He will dwell in our hearts. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. But remember, folks, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So how do we function with all the bombardment of wickedness, temptation, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? And let us do like Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depths nor any creature will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And what is the armor of God? Truth. Always tell the truth. It's better to tell the truth than to try to lie, because one lie builds on another. And the Ten Commandments are all the documents that we need to be able to understand the way of God and the truth that we need to be. Righteousness is another part of that armor. Do right things. Every impulse you get, go out and do right things. The gospel of peace, that is, we don't need to go out on the street and hold up pickets. We don't need to write letters to pastor and anonymous letters to other people and try to set everybody straight. But every chance we get, always seek peace between whoever in whatever situation we find. Then the faith. Believe God. It's hard sometimes for us to believe because sometimes our promises are like chains of sand. And so we have to have faith in God. You know, God said that Abraham received salvation because his belief in God. And what is salvation? Is our acceptance of what he's willing to give for us, eternal life, by our belief in him. And the sword of the Spirit was the word of God. There's tremendous power, tremendous information that will help us make decisions correctly. And prayer. In India, we have a lot of vain repetition, words over and over again. We have beads and we have things, prayer wheels and this type of thing. And we see people feeling they can't go directly to God and they have to go through a priest or a monk or a Hindu or the pastor or whatever. But God said we can come directly unto God. And he taught us the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. So that means you're and my Father. And who wouldn't want to talk with their Father? And hallowed be thy name. Another place in the Bible talks about God instructing us on what to do about sin and that type of thing. In 2 Chronicles 7:14-15 says, if my people which are called by my name, and we're all Christians, are we not? That's the name of Christ. Shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Does your land not produce what it should be? You know, there's a couple curses on the land. I've seen some people really pretty able to produce a lot. And as we talking with God, God will heal our land. And mine eyes shall be opened and my ears attendant to their prayers that is made in this place. You know, God's hand is not too short that he can't reach us. It's just our disobedience. And his ear is not stopped up that he can't hear us. So be sure and pray and commit yourself to God. So let us protect ourselves by putting on the whole armor of God. Our acceptance of God's acceptance is what we need. As we have accepted Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, we need to share the good news, accept the commandments of God, to go teach in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all things that he has taught us to do. Let us tell our personal story to how God has changed our lives, and as the devil-possessed man did in the country of Gadara in Luke 8:26. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments have never been done away with, nor will they ever. I look forward to heaven being with Jesus, who died for my sins. And I know each one of you also here today wants the same thing. Let us remember, God will walk with us down streets where no one else will walk. God will talk with us about things that no one else will talk. God will bear with us the little worries no one else will. God will care for us whenever there is no one else to care. God will talk with us when friends forget and fail to understand. God will strengthen us when we are weak and need a helping hand. Where no one tends to help, give a helping hand, God will. So who do you know that should be important to you? How many of you believe that? Let us stand as I have the closing prayer. The closing prayer I'm going to repeat is the one that Moses told the priest to say as they dismissed the people. It's found in Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.